chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. It's interesting to me that there is no event commemorated more frequently, more accurately, by more people in the world and in the history of the world than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my voice isn't very good today. I probably will speak more softly, so Roy will upgrade the volume accordingly. It's amazing. I never saw department store jams like I saw for Christmas shopping in Tokyo, Japan, many years ago. There were so many people in the store, I had a hard time standing up straight. I don't know where they went to buy what it was they were buying, but the place was more crowded than I have ever seen any store in my life. That's Christmas in Japan. All over the world, people are commemorating Christmas, remembering Christmas. They often forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. But frankly, even if they forget him, I think God in heaven looks down and says, what's the most significant event in the lives of people on average in the world? And he says, it's Christmas time. They've forgotten my son. They have remembered Santa Claus. They would rather be interested in toys and in Jesus, but just the same, it's the most significant event in the world. Galatians chapter 4. And this is what the verse reads. It's Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Just give me a moment while I find it myself. Galatians 4, verse 4. It says this. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When was Jesus born? We commemorate his death on the 25th of December, but we've no idea whether that was the date. We are pretty sure that it was in the middle of winter, and it was probably a little more than 2,000 years ago. What we do know is this. He was born in the fullness of time. God made a promise way back to Eve. He said, I'm going to send forth someone to be the Savior. He fulfilled that promise over and over and over again over the next 3,500 years. When did Jesus come? In the fullness of time. That's very significant. Why did he take so long in coming? Answer, because he had to prepare the world so that when he did come, the world would be ready to receive him. They didn't receive him. They were happy to kill him when he was born, and they tried and failed. They tried several other times, and then when he was 33, 34 years old, they succeeded. But he came at the right time. It's interesting that God makes promises, and God's promises do not always appear to be fulfilled on our schedules, but they are always fulfilled on his schedule. Now, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ come on schedule, but the Bible says he's going to come back again. And he's going to come back again on schedule. When the Lord Jesus started to preach, he repeated the words of John the Baptist. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. By that, he meant that the kingdom of heaven was going to be presented to them during his lifetime and after he died. And it would continue to be presented to them. But one day he's coming back again. You'll remember maybe the words that he said just before he went to heaven, just after he went to heaven, rather. They were repeated by the angels. And the angels said, this same Jesus. I better read it to you. It's Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse number, I'm not sure we'll find it. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from unto you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What do we know for sure? Jesus was prophesied to come. He came and he made such a profound impact when he came that he accomplished more than any man had ever accomplished. But he came precisely on schedule 4,000 years later. And what do we know for sure? He is coming back again. The world says we don't really need to worry about him. We'd rather have the toys. We'd rather have the parties than have Jesus. And that's how they celebrate his birth today. But Jesus said, they said of Jesus, I am coming back again. And the challenge to each of us today is simple. Are you, am I ready for the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again? You'll remember the story, won't you, of Noah and the ark. Noah started building an ark in the middle of a field one day. He said, Noah, that's a lot of lumber. And whatever you're building is pretty big. What are you doing? Oh, Noah said, the Lord is going to punish this earth because of all its sin. And so you'd better get ready. I'm building this ark so that when the Lord does come and punish the earth with a flood, I'll be ready to go. If you'd like, you could come with me. I'm building a big ark. It'll be big enough for you if you'd like to come. They said, Noah, you're crazy. Noah said, no, I'm not crazy. It'll come. And he kept building and building, and the ark kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And he kept on saying to them, you better plan to get into the ark because God is going to come. They said, Noah, no, it's been about 100 years since you've been building that ark. He hasn't come yet. Noah, you're daft. And then one day, Noah and his family went into the ark. And all the others said, we're not interested. God closed the door and it started to rain. And the others said, Noah, we think you're right. We'd like to come into the ark now. And they couldn't get in because it was too late. There will come a Christmas. Maybe not far from now. When billions of people over the world will say, this is a strange Christmas. There aren't any Christians here this Christmas. And I think that'll be headline news in every newspaper, on every television cast, in every news screen, all over the world. Imagine they'll say Christmas and no Christians. Will this be the last Christmas when there will be Christians on the earth? We don't know. They waited a long time. 120 years they waited in Noah's day, and then they realized that Noah was right and they were all wrong, and then they all got very, very wet until they drowned. And everything about them and all the great society that they had built was gone. Um, many other of God's promises were the same. Moses said to the children of Israel, you better obey God. If you don't, one day God's going to carry you into captivity. That promise was repeated for 1,000 years. What happened? One day, Nebuchadnezzar came, killed most of them, took the rest into captivity. Wow. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. Does God keep his promises? Yes. How long does he remember to keep his promises? Well, his promises are fulfilled on his schedule. Do you know God has never missed an appointment yet? All his promises are fulfilled on his schedule. Among the many things he says is this. It's Judges, it's rather Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, says this. It's pointed unto men wants to die. And after death, the judgment. How many people who were born 200 years ago have kept that appointment? All of them. So what happened? Well, they died. And after death came the judgment. And among other things on Judgment Day, I think God is going to say, excuse me, but what did you think of Christmas? Do you ever remember Christmas? What do you think of Christmas? And they may very well tell you about the toys that they got. And they may very well tell you about the turkey that they ate. God says, I came for a reason. I came, as Jesus said when he first started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Did you repent? Hundreds, yes, thousands of Christmases have come and gone. But the people who lived earlier have all met the judge. God keeps his promises. One day, he's going to come back. I'm going to read you a couple more verses in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 3. Just to remind us that God's promises are real. We all know he came. Are you ready when he comes back? 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 8 reads, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why did Jesus Christ not come, according to God's promise, last Christmas? Because he wants all to come to repentance. And he allows that judgment day to be deferred according to his schedule, so that more people will come to repentance. And so the phrase goes, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come. One day, it'll be December the 25th. It'll be Christmas time. There will be no Christians to celebrate Christmas. And the people who do celebrate Christmas will have been sent strong delusion. They're going to believe the world's lie, just like they believed the lie in Noah's day, just like they believed the lie in the days before Babylon, just like they believed the lie in the days of the Lord Jesus. And they'll say, oh, well, different kind of a Christmas. But they will all realize sooner or later that they too will die. And after death, the judgment. Christmas is the wonderful time of the year. Some people say it's the best time of the year. It's the time God says to you and me, remember, I came in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm coming back again. Remember, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment, and therefore the great promise is that the Lord will come and that he will save his people from their sins. And so we say, Lord, I choose to believe you. I choose to believe you today. I want eternal life. I don't want the judgment from the foolish people, like the foolish people who say we like Christmas. We just don't need Jesus. Well, that's our story for today. That's our time for today. The Lord bless. We're happy that you're here. Sorry for the snow, but the Lord sent that at the right time. And he's going to bless us. We're going to go again next Saturday evening. We're going to have a special program at the chapel Saturday evening at 6:30 here in the chapel. And we're going to have a Christmas carol sing and enjoy Christmas Eve. And then next Sunday, we'll have our regular meetings at the chapel. We are not canceling our meetings at the chapel on Sunday. Christmas is important. Jesus is more important. And not just that we remember him, but the day is important. We're going to remember the Lord's Day. And so we'll have all our activities next Sunday. The Lord will bless us. I'm going to ask Sebastian now just to come forward. Thank the Lord for Christmas and thank the Lord for us. Pray his blessing upon us. Sebastian, please.
I enjoy listening to the choir, listening to the instruments, listening to your word read and the message. Praise you that you sent your son. And we praise you that it was joy. You sent him to save us. You sent him to go to the cross and shed his blood and pay for our sin and raise again to give us life. And it was joy to him, our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We praise you. Lord, I praise you for each one who's come today, both in the building and on Zoom. And I just pray that you touch each heart. I just pray that you show yourself to each one. And you save souls this morning and draw each of us close to you. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.